Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Welcome inside Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, which includes USC Trojans head coach Clay Helton. That's coming up at 9:30 a.m. Eastern.
Who's he the head coach for again? Man, I'm sorry. I got confused.
We'll do something to Duke so cold.
And why are you talking about our football, man? Leave Coach Cutcliffe alone.
Hey, you're playing. Helton can join us because he doesn't have anything to do. The Pac-12 isn't playing right now. Yeah. At least we're going to get a little ACC football. For the next 21 minutes, we're going to go uninterrupted and talk about the biggest story that is transcending basketball at this moment. A reminder, we are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Last night, Clippers looked like the Clippers that we all expected. You good?
Yeah, I'm just stretching,
doing some
man.
Pilates? Okay. What are we doing?
No,
doing
man,
some
I'm
yoga?
Just stretching, dog.
You look tight, man. You
might want to start stretching somewhere. I've been sitting in a chair for 3 hours.
You don't got to yell at me. I just say you look tight.
You don't need to bring attention to what I'm doing. He's
over
there
stretching
talking.
Like a yoga professor right now.
Stupid.
Some hot yoga here with Key. Here's the deal. Doc Rivers last night had plenty to celebrate. Kawhi was great again. They held Luka in check. Paul George showed up to the tune of 35 points in 25 minutes after saying he had dealt with some depression and anxiety. But the real issue, when you use the word anxiety, you can hear it in the tone of Doc Rivers. We're going to play you some of his audio after the game. And just a little bit of context to set it up. Doc's father was a police officer in Maywood, Illinois, which is actually an early stop, guys, on the Underground Railroad. And that's why a lot of African Americans have settled in and around that area. And also due to the Great Migration from the South, people in the 1920s and the 1930s made their way up and they settled in the Maywood area as well. Just to give you a little bit of context, it's a largely African American community. And Doc's father, Grady, worked his way up to lieutenant, a very high ranking position in any police department, as you know. So I just want you to know that as you hear Doc Rivers talk about the plight of Black people, the way he sees it, vis-a-vis the rest of America seeing Black people. Take a listen to this.
All you do is keep hearing about fear. It's amazing to me why we keep loving this country and this country does not love us back. And it's really so sad. Like, I should just be a coach. And it's so often reminded of my color. We're the ones that need to be scared. We're the ones having to talk to every Black child. What white father has to give his son a talk about being careful if you get pulled over? It's just ridiculous, and it just keeps going. There's no charges, Breonna Taylor, no charges, nothing. All we're asking is you live up to the Constitution. That's all we're asking for everybody, for everyone. Thank you.
When you think about it, it's trite to say they'll try to move on to the second round tomorrow. This was a gigantic win. Many people thought it could have saved the Clippers season. All of that goes on the back burner because on the front burner, Key, is essentially what Doc Rivers said. In 5 minutes, Key, we will talk about the possible boycotting between game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals between the Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors, scheduled for 6:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow on ESPN. We'll hear from Fred VanVleet. We'll hear from Raptors coach Nick Nurse in a very interesting text that Kyle Lowry had with Jay. That's all coming up in 5 minutes. But first, the issue at hand, your thoughts on Doc's powerful words.
I mean, he's speaking the truth. I mean, he's speaking the truth because you have to have those conversations with your kids. You know, I got a son, 20-plus years old. You know, driving, walking, whatever the case is, you got to have that conversation. And I got white friends, obviously, that I've had these conversations with about why we are treated a certain way here in our own country. Why? And they didn't understand and they didn't see it, but you got to have those conversations.
Absolutely.
Because their sons were never treated that way. My buddy Mark Canner never, ever was treated that way. And he didn't really understand it till I started really.
Who's Mark?
It's just a friend of mine.
Oh, just a guy.
Just a friend. Okay, and having that conversation with him to get him to really understand how we are being treated. And not just by police officers.
Right.
Because the police aren't the only ones that are shooting and killing black men and women. There are other people that are doing it and trying to get away with it and hiding behind certain things. So let's not make it seem like it's just happening with the police. It's also happening with regular civilians that want to become police officers and doing things. I mean, you could just go on for years and years of the same stuff. You want to have these conversations with your kids so that they understand what they need to do to be safe and not put themselves in bad positions. It's senseless. Like I said to us on the show earlier, if you saw the video and you think, oh, he was doing this, he should listen to the commands, or he should just stop right there. You know, and you hear people saying that, and you see people tweeting it and on social media saying those sort of things. Like, you really truly are lost and don't understand and sick if you really believe that it's okay to try to gun somebody down in the middle of the streets just because you have a license basically to kill at the end of the day. And this probably, and I was talking to Jay about it, we were just trying to figure out how do you maybe slow it down and stop police officers from doing things. They need to put a law in, man. I don't know how they do it, but they need to put some type of law in where you lock their ass up and you throw away the key the same way you treat regular criminals that go and have three strikes and a third strike might be because they walked out of a store with a pizza.
That's like a Hammurabi eye for eye type situation. We're doing this to you.
That is instead of, well, you should only give him 10 years and, oh, well, we're going to bring it down to 5 years and he's going to get off on probation for another three. No, if you do this and you are caught doing this, we're going to throw the key away. And let's see if that'll slow it down. What are the consequences?
I'm going to take it to another real place because I've heard people try to use this counter argument about what's happening in the police force and, you know, about having good cops and bad cops. And people hit me with, you ready for it, Zubin?
Go ahead.
You ready for it, Key? You ready for everybody? Well, how about blacks killing blacks?
That's a good one, too. I got into a heated argument with one of my close white friends.
How about what's happening in Chicago?
Yes.
500-plus people killed.
Mm-hmm. Black-on-black
crime.
Right? People say that.
That takes it back to a way bigger issue about socioeconomic opportunities for people of color and how they've been condensed in these low impoverished areas for a while, right? And that's why you see a lot of athletes that go back to these areas where they're from. You hear Key talk about South Central, right? But when you're in these areas, you don't feel like maybe there's a way to get out. I'm not condoning it. That's wrong too, right? But that you can't use, that's a whole completely different conversation.
Man, there's conversations.
Than the one conversation that we're having here. And you can't use one conversation to combat another. One wrong doesn't make another wrong right. You know what I mean?
No, but again, it's the defense mechanism. I had a conversation that was very similar, but it was about welfare and how welfare is not supposed to be used to live on for the rest of your life. And you should go get jobs. And, you know, and we were having this conversation in depth. And I was trying to explain to one of my 1% of friends that I have, because he was trying to tell me about welfare. And I had to slow him down. I said, hold on, man. You ain't never in your life had to get a government check. So don't tell me anything about it, because my mother had to because she couldn't get a job. OK, that was the only source of income at that time. But you're trying to tell me that she could get a job. Well, when she fill out the application, first thing they say is they look at her educational background. Well, why don't you have an extended education? Well, I don't have an extended education because my books in my school didn't allow me to do that. Well, why the books didn't allow? Because y'all was giving the money.
We didn't get funding.
To the suburbs to educate y'all kids and not our kids. So it was a long conversation. But again, trying to hide behind something instead of actually trying to figure out how to make it right.
And also that Doc said, you know, he was like, you know, maybe I should just be a coach. I can't tell you how many times people try to keep you in a lane. Think about it. It's so natural.
Well, he said that because he's so frustrated.
No, I get it. But I'm saying, like, when you meet people, right, if I were to meet Zubin, one of the first things is natural to ask you, hey, Zubin, nice to meet you. Great. What do you do?
Right. Our work defines us.
Like, I have to put you in some kind of box that it's easier for me to understand who you are if I know what you do. Well, damn, I'm way more than what I do. I've been way more than a basketball player my whole damn life.
I'm going to give you, you say what you do. Get in the elevator. I don't know how many times it happens to me. Get in the elevator, riding up the elevator with somebody, Zubin. Who do you play for? Oh no, and you know me, I joke a lot. I'm like, no, I'm actually I'm a neurosurgeon, and I'm going to see my lawyer up on the 10th floor. So I get into that, and then, no, you're not. You got to play for somebody. I'm like, you just got to stop. But the mindset, like Jay say, you must be some sort of celebrity. I can't just be a normal person. You look at me as either I'm an entertainer or I'm an athlete because I'm black and I have a nice stature and I'm nice size. That sort of stuff is that underline, undertone, you know, behavior that they've been taught for so long that's stuck in their minds now. And it's hard to get people out of that.
Can I ask you a question? Did you just give yourself a self-compliment? Do you say you have a nice stature?
Well, I just, come on, man. What you want me to say? What you want to say? I'm a big black
dude
or something?
No, like, you're saying that was a nice self-pat on the back. You know, I have a nice stature.
What did you want me to say, though? That I'm a big black dude? I can say that. I didn't want to say that. I just wanted to give a different view, I guess, point of view with it.
I mean, we know the one thing about you. You got confidence. So if you got confidence, you got
to. You got to have confidence in this world because people are constantly trying to knock you down.
Yeah.
For whatever reasons. And Jay, you know, he's a bigger social media guy than me, and he likes to read the comments, and we share them back and forth on some of the things that people say. But mm-hmm. I can't, you know, I get a pit in my stomach a lot when I start talking about these social issues because really, truly, Zubin, I grew up, man, I'm telling you, like I told you, rough at a time, even when I was 10 years old and had to sleep in a car with my mom. So I understand. And nobody going to give you a damn thing.
Got to go get it.
You got to go get it.
Right.
But they always going to try to stop you from going to get it.
Right.
You know, even when Norby and Dave Roberts made the decision.
Our two big bosses here.
Two big bosses made the decision to launch this show with us. The negative responses that came about, even though I'm like, okay, well, guess what? You can go to that other station because we still going to be here.
How do you feel that you guys don't have chemistry? You guys haven't worked together. I'm like. Did Mike and Mike work together for a while before they came on?
They try so hard to put you down. It's like, well, we can't do it this way, so we're going to do it that way. Well, guess what, man? You're going up against a brick wall when you're going up against me because I'm not going to fold under no circumstances and no pressure. Mm-hmm. LeBron James is not going to fold under no circumstances and pressure. Neither is AD, neither is Kawhi, neither are many black athletes that are out there. All we going to do is keep sending this message until we kick in the wall and you get it. That's why, again, you make sure that you get out there and you vote. Because if you voting, you changing. Believe me, you're changing from a local standpoint, a federal standpoint. You're going to make changes. You can't just go check a box. You got to read through it and make sure that you're making changes.
Unless you're trying to vote by mail. But anyway. Yes. I don't want to distract.
That's another story.
Yes.
For another. Go ahead. I know. You know what
Zubin,
I'm saying.
You mentioned LeBron. In 1 minute, I want to ask you maybe one of the most important questions about LeBron since he came into the NBA in 2003. That's in 1 minute, and I want to get Key's opinion on that. But first, game one is set in the Eastern Conference semifinals between the Raptors and the Celtics, scheduled for 6:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow on ESPN. However, the Raptors' Fred VanVleet, one of the heroes of last year's championship team, essentially said, right now, the team is thinking about boycotting the game because while their hearts are in Florida, their minds are in Wisconsin with what happened over the weekend. And he is calling out on other players, not just the Raptors, to boycott. If we're going to be in the bubble, let's stand up and do something.
We knew, you know, coming here or not coming here wasn't going to stop anything. But I think ultimately, like playing or not playing puts pressure on somebody. So, for example, this happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin, if I'm correct.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, would it be nice if in a perfect world, we all say we're not playing and the owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, that's going to trickle down. If he steps up to the plate and puts pressure on, you know, district attorney's office and state's attorneys and governors and politicians there to make real change and get some justice. Like, I know it's not that simple, but at the end of the day, if we're going to sit here and talk about making change, then, you know, at some point we're going to have to put our on the line and actually, you know, put something up to lose rather than just money or visibility.
That's Van Vliet. His teammate Kyle Lowry was texting with Jay Will this morning saying, quote, anything and everything is on the table for the Raptors. They will be meeting shortly as a team to decide what to do. Here's my LeBron question for you that I promised. If LeBron, with all due respect to George Hill, as we discussed before, Fred VanVleet, these are all great players speaking their minds, bigger than basketball. But if LeBron James said, you know what? I'm ready to boycott. What happens to the NBA bubble then?
It changes. It just changed. But it doesn't necessarily have to be LeBron.
Okay.
If the Raptors decide not to play tomorrow night.
Collectively? Right.
That's going to put pressure on LeBron.
Exactly.
And what will happen
Explain that.
I'm going to get there.
Okay. That's very juicy.
What will happen is people will start to look at LeBron to see what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if he continues to push through and give you the, well, I'm going to play, that's their team, I'm doing it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Now the conversation becomes, put your money where your mouth is. Look, the Raptors did it. How come you still trying to push through to win a championship to catch Michael Jordan or to pass this guy? And that conversation starts unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfair, but that conversation certainly will start if the Raptors decide to do it and a LeBron James continues to try and seek a championship.
If the Raptors were to boycott, think about this from an aesthetics perspective. A team in Canada is going to be the first team to boycott an American game.
The only team in Canada.
The only team in Canada.
Yeah.
Basketball. Think about that, right? So when to expound upon Key's point, the pressure that puts on LeBron James isn't just from the media.
From our community.
It's going to be a backlash from the black community what's going to happen, right? You know, at the same time, we had this discussion the other day where people were referencing names when we were having that conversation around Montrezl Harrell, right? That same thing will start to occur to a degree for LeBron James because people know that the odds are in the Lakers' favor to win a world championship. And if he were to continue to play, the amount of pressure unfairly that will be on him to not play would be astronomical.
Because we look up to LeBron. I mean, that is an iconic hero to many of us in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Because where he came from and where he is today, his background, the whole deal. And
I promise the, school, everything the off
the
court.
The message, what him and Maverick have been able to do
Maverick Carter.
is crazy, right? And so we look to that. So we look for his voice and his guidance to show us the right way. And so what will happen is if the Raptors make the decision not to play, the next step is going to be what LeBron and the Lakers are going to do. Because he's the outside of the team, he's the next biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He is the biggest thing.
Of a team
agreed.
Pulling the trigger,
okay.
He's the next guy in line.
Gotcha.
Right? And so it's unfair for people to do that, but the reality is they're going to do it.
And here's the reality also. Think about how much money is on the line. Oh. Brian Windhorst reported that the league paid Disney $150 million for the bubble.
Right.
Think about the money that they put into all the processes and the protocols with COVID and the testing.
The money they lost from China.
The money that they lost from China, right, with their Amori and the issues with that. Think about TV rights.
Yes.
$24 billion over 9 years.
With two networks.
With two networks. So there's a lot of money at stake here, and those are the things that you heard Fred allude to.
That's what I was about to say.
That says the owners, okay, there's so much money at stake. Now what are you going to do when you can't recoup that revenue in the hundreds of millions of dollars range?
When pushback starts to happen, people start to move. Because the owners, as much money as they have, they're not trying to give anything back. And they're not trying to lose any money.
Not in this economy.
And they will put apply the pressure to the people to make the change. They just will. And you know, is that the way to go?
But you have to be. What are you asking for? This is the big thing. Like we have to be, you know, if you're going to do this, what are you asking for specifically? You have to set targets, and you have to give them targets to accomplish.
Yes,
it can't be a generic ask. You have to be very specific in what you're asking for. If that's legislation, which I think it is,
certain things,
then you have to ask it. No knock policy, other things like, you know, harsher penalties for cops that have, you have to ask for these things specifically and then say, go out and get these things done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, that's what you have to do. You have to have in, not necessarily in writing, but you have to have what it is that you're looking for ready to go. Just talking about it isn't going to get things done the way you need to. Now, to be fair, the NBA has done some things.
They've done so much already.
And have taken a hit in television ratings and things of that nature because they've done a lot in terms of staying with the Black Lives Movement and trying to show where things have been unjust in our country. And they've gotten pushback from people that don't agree. And that's okay. That's fine. But now we had a second wave now. That was the first wave. We had the second wave. These incidents continue to keep happening. No matter what you did,
sure.
A dude just got shot 7-8 times in the back.
And I want to bring it back full circle here just because he went through a lot. And I'm not saying I am an advocate of everything that he's said and how he said it sometimes. But I do ultimately know where his heart is at because I spent time with him. Kyrie Irving was one of the first to talk about this when this whole thing happened.
And he was ridiculed initially. He was ridiculed. How could he not play?
He was destroyed by everybody.
Well, but goes to speak though. But did he have? He was talking about it. But did he give?
I'm not saying that. Yeah, he had actionable items to do.
Yeah, was it a plan? And was it just conversation?
And ultimately, we said that hey, this league is going to move in a direction. That's the fire alarm going off at ESPN. I don't know whether we should leave the building or whether we just need to stick it out and stay. But we're going to finish this conversation.
I think we'll be okay. We'll be fine, and we just. Listen to Coach Helton, and we'll be all right.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Coach Thompson, for saving my life. For giving me the opportunity, an incident happened in high school. No other teams, no other schools would recruit me anymore. My mom went to Georgetown and begged him to give me a chance. And he did.
So the question is, you may not recognize that voice, but maybe you do. Of course, the answer is Allen Iverson. He was inducted alongside John Thompson. He was inducted into the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame in 2016. He referenced there an incident where his reputation was ruined. He was involved in a huge brawl in a bowling alley, and everyone minus John Thompson essentially scattered. They all just scattered. I cannot be associated with Allen Iverson. This happened in Virginia where Iverson had grown up. But John Thompson stuck by him, and you heard the emotional words when Allen Iverson became a basketball immortal in Springfield, joining his old head coach, John Thompson Jr., has died at the age of 78. It's a pleasure to bring in a guy that had many battles in the old Big East, like us three and some of our listeners, if you're old enough to remember that old Big East, Jim Calhoun, the three-time national head coach of the national championship UConn Huskies and the four-time Big East Coach of the Year. He did so much. Thompson did so much. Karnaseka Boeheim, you name it. And he joins us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and he is with us. First things first here, Coach, what would be your reaction If someone asked you, what was John Thompson as a person and as a coach?
A force of nature. John Thompson is one of the brightest men I ever met. I first met him trying out for the Celtics down in Camp Millbrook in Marshfield, Mass. They told me I had a room over room, I think 16, whatever it was, not important. I went in there and I saw this enormous figure in the door. It was my meeting with first meeting with John. He was with the Celtics at the time. And from that point on, we became very good friends. And I had incredible respect for John's ability to coach, certainly. But John did a lot more than that. John took some of the views, which today I'm sure would be praised for being incredibly courageous, et cetera. John took those long before anybody ever did. John took stances that were very difficult to help others, to help his community, to help his kids. And I've never, ever forgotten that. And as I said, he's a force of nature. I watched him in meetings, articulate, incredibly bright. I mean, you know, when John spoke, everybody listened. He's one of those kind of guys. And, it is sad in many ways sometimes that he didn't get quite the great credit for what a terrific coach he was.
Coach Jay Williams here. How you doing, first off?
Hey, Jay. Good, Jay. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, it's been a really difficult last couple of months in general. And I've always been taught, you know, you have to be cheerful about the legacy that somebody's left. Do you have any funny, good stories about Coach Thompson that you would like to share so we can try to have somewhat of a smile today?
Well, you know, he was a really funny guy. So I got to know him, as I said, Jay, an awful lot. I'd always be with him, George Raveling, some of the other guys when the Final Four, and they, you know, when they always yelled, "Hey, Coach," and the 1,000 guys put their head up, "Yeah." And John, though, was there talking. And I said, "John, man, I know you from back in the day when you played with Red and all that kind of stuff. What are you going to mess with all these guys for? You got them scared to death in the Big East." I'm talking because when John spoke with that big voice of his, you know, and thunderous roar, and obviously incredibly intelligent and articulate, he said, "Stop screwing those guys. I got him, Jimmy." "I got him, Jimmy." And I don't think it was so out of, in some ways, character of John. But he was a funny, witty guy. He had a great sense of humor. And as I said before, he's a force of nature. But he's brilliant. And I mean this honestly. I've heard some great speakers in my life, fortunate, from Obama to Martin Luther King to a whole bunch of folks. I'll tell you one thing. When John wanted to make his point, John made his point. He was, as I said, he was just a very, 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 very special guy. And as I said, I don't think all of us, it's hard to recognize it through the you know, his size. People were threatened by his size, and I used to laugh and joke about that with him. And by his rhetoric, by the fact he was so bright. You may not be able to beat him in arm wrestling, but I'll tell you what, you couldn't beat him in an argument either.
When you look at it, Coach, John Thompson obviously is known for everything on the court in terms of coaching. But I look at his, yep, his tenure off the court and the things that he did for young men, in particular in African-American communities up and down the East Coast. When you look at that, and you look at where basketball and college basketball is today, and not as many African-American coaches on the sideline as head guys, what do you think he would be saying right now today?
I think he said it from day one when it wasn't popular, as I said once again. You know, today we're in a great age. Thank God that I heard someone say that they're tired of talking about what's going on. No, we got to talk about it. The only way it can get out there to say that America's greatest sin, slavery, then passed on for almost 400 years. We got to make sure we say something about it. And John was saying about it when it wasn't, quote, quite as popular. We didn't have many people defending him or understanding what he's trying to say, quote, about his community, his kids, his school, his team. John was a spokesperson. He walked off the court when he used to have probably just in 48. I mean, John was a loud voice. As I said, you never wanted to get into a real argument with him because the man could articulate and he could let his feelings be known. And I, you know, he just really was something special. And, you know, as we talk about some of the great people that have impacted our society and made people aware of various things, John Thompson has to be right up there with a lot of the great people. I was fortunate enough a number of years ago to get an honorary degree with John Lewis. And that's one of the great days of my life. John Lewis was not only fascinating, incredible, articulate, but he was taking a train down to Harlem after getting this one in Connecticut. So, you know, I've been, people like that make a difference. And John Thompson, in his own way, certainly was a difference maker in America.
Coach, speaking of Connecticut, we also lost Cliff Robinson this weekend as well. A Husky. Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about Cliff?
you know, Cliff Skinner came to me from Buffalo, not to me, but to Don Pernell, my predecessor. And, you know, he was the kind of a kid that had a very difficult childhood and just didn't have any, quote, father figure to get him going. Averaged 5 points a game. And I called him in, Jay, and into the office when I first got there and said, Cliff, two things are going to happen to you. I hope it's the latter, but it could be the first thing I'm going to say to you. And that's the first thing. I'm going to put this size 12 up your ass and kick you out of here and keep behaving like you are. I said, or you're going to have a terrific NBA career. Well, he went on, helped us win NIT, et cetera. He was going to be drafted in the first round. Wasn't. He stayed after to talk to all the press, which started to show more of his character. And then pretty soon, he evolved as not only a player, 18 years in the league, 53rd in all-time scoring, but an incredible man. He did some terrific things to show me the character that he had developed. And I couldn't be proud of him as a player. And, you know, 2.5 years ago, I was out to see him when he had a stroke. And now it happened again, and unfortunately we lost him. And it's a journey ended way too soon. You know, Cliff Robinson was a guy who learned on the fly how to be the kind of person he may be as a father, certainly as a friend, just a terrific player. By the way, he's a guy that helped allow 6'10" guys to play the three. He got five positions. I mean, he was a special player and developed into a really special man.
You did call him over the weekend your first great UConn player, and that says something because there were some really great UConn players that have come down the pike since then. I really appreciate you joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin to talk about John Thompson and to talk about Cliff Robinson, a couple of guys that will be sorely missed in the basketball world. Coach Calhoun, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Hey, great luck with the show and congratulations.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Jay, one quick thing. You mentioned it earlier. You had cross paths in the NBA with Robinson. If you weren't with us earlier, I just wanted to maybe give you an opportunity to say it one more time because I think it clearly seemed like he affected you.
Yeah, I had a short stint with him with the Nets and Cliffy. You know, Richard Jefferson was always the team jokester, as you can imagine. He still is today on the ESPN team, and that was a team led by Jason Kidd and Vince Carter. But, you know, Cliff, obviously my short stint with the Nets was pretty challenging. I had this AFO on my foot, which, you know, forced me to keep my foot dorsiflex because I couldn't really walk. It's the same thing that Alex Smith wears when I'm moving around, you know, right now for the Washington football team. And, you know, obviously was going through a lot of things psychologically around him, but I wasn't the player I was before. And Cliff was always there with some kind of upbeat attitude, was always positive, was always joking with me, was always keeping me on my toes. Even to the last tweet that I told you guys at the beginning of the show really led me to feel some kind of way because we had always missed each other for the last, you know, year or so. His last tweet was joking with me about my turtleneck, wearing it in the summer, you know, because the studios are so cold here in Bristol. And it just reminds me of something that I said before, that it's important that as much as we get busy in our everyday lives to make sure that we keep that relationship spark with those people that we feel like we missed, or, hey, I can get back to them when I get a time or sure. I get a second. And that was my opportunity with Cliff, and I didn't get a chance to do that. And now he's gone. So, you know, rest in power, Cliff. Rest in power.
Yes. Age 53, died of lymphoma. The tweet Jay is referencing, at UncleCliffy30. That was his Twitter feed. Jay Williams is wearing a turtleneck. This is August 10th at 7:57. Jay Williams is wearing a turtleneck in the summer. 2 exclamation points. Am I missing something? Hashtag NBA bubble. Hashtag NBA. Hashtag wrong. I think we're just going to miss him. I think it's probably the best way to put it. Still to come.
Coming from the guys wearing a sweater all summer.
Touche. Touche. Still to come. We'll talk a little bit more about the Leonard Fournette trade. And Doug Marrone had some very interesting comments. Some very interesting comments about trying to ship him out, but being unable to do so. That is next here on ESPN Radio and the app.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You guys can't see it right now, but Kia's just grooving out, eyes closed and everything.
We got to let it breathe here, right?
The music. Oh, man, this is it.
Kilo, like that old black dude, man, in the club with the Bluetooth on.
Bluetooth. That's okay.
Yeah, they got the Bluetooth, the little light blue.
It's blinking.
When you lose, it's blinking. Like, why you got the Bluetooth on? You know he ain't phoning nobody.
When you lose this bet, when you lose this Clipper Mav bet, I'm going to make you wear something.
What you going to make me wear?
I'm going to make you wear my jersey.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm going to make you wear one of my jerseys.
I hate number 19.
And then, no, it ain't going to be a number 19. It's the all-century team jersey that I have from the Pac-12. Yeah, I'm going to make you wear that on national TV. Hmm. And with something else, too.
Okay, we'll wait to see. That's a Clippers-Mavericks bet. And obviously, Key is banking on the Clips.
On the Mavericks. Time. No, you guys are banking on the Mavs, not the Clips.
And real quick, I want to say this before we move on.
Yeah.
Those people out there, because me and Jay was talking during the break, those people out there that think that we are trying to pit the black community against LeBron James, they're foolish.
Stop.
And they're not listening to our show. They're hearing what they want to hear.
Right.
So clean your ears and listen to what we said and not try to make things out to be what you want it to be versus what we said.
Gotcha. A little bit earlier, we were discussing the impact of what would happen if LeBron – vis-a-vis anybody else would say, I'm leaving the bubble, and the impact that would have with fans, really, of all stripes. Real quick, Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need, just $45 a month, gets you the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for up to 50% less than the big carriers, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. One of my favorite stats of all time in the NBA, our man Vince Carter played in four different decades. Just think about that for a second. He played four different decades in the
NBA.
Still
doing 360s.
Still doing 360s. A Raptors legend, and obviously the big story right now, as Jay sort of alluded to, possibility of boycotting game one of their Eastern Conference semifinal series with the Boston Celtics. They're meeting about it. Fred VanVleet has been pretty clear that it is on the table. Jay Will's been texting with Kyle Lowry that anything and everything is possible for the decision. So Vince Carter was asked on Get Up on ESPN just a short time ago, and his response on a boycott was simply this: regular season's one thing, ain't nobody paying attention, but if you boycott now your message can get across.
What better time than the second round of the playoffs than to do something like this? Statement will be made and all eyes will be on both of these teams. I would like to see both teams get together and sit on a panel or forum and have dialogue and just discuss and get everything, all of their feelings out on the table and to move forward and what these guys are thinking. Because like I said, there's been a lot of guys prior to the bubble who were protesting and out in their communities speaking. And now with the bubble, you don't have that freedom to move about and be a part of the rallies and everything that's going on outside of the bubble. So I think if these teams do not play, having them come together, sitting together and kind of discussing the issues and what's on their hearts and what's on their minds, I think is very important because all eyes will be watching. And of course, we'll be talking about it. So what better time?
Okay, Jay, what's interesting here, he's the first person I've heard invoke the Celtics into this. This was a Raptors issue. The Celtics would go up 1-0 if it was a boycott, whatever that would mean. He said guys from both teams should get together.
Look, if the Raptors decide to do that, I guarantee you no players on the Celtics will be like, okay, we accept your forfeit. They won't do that.
Okay.
I think the Raptors doing this, and Key talked about this, the trickle-down effect. If the Raptors do this, then the Celtics will do this. Then you have conversations about LeBron and Kawhi. Mm-hmm. It just naturally goes to that place. Mm-hmm. It's the first bowling pin to fall.
Because you also get, not necessarily pressure, but you also get those that are not in the bubble, that are NBA guys, jump on board. And so it just becomes a trickle-down effect. That's really what it – because now you're putting pressure on the owner. Now you're going to put pressures on the owners. You've got the Milwaukee. There's pressure on the owners in Milwaukee. Then it just becomes a second layer from the first layer that was out there. Yes, they've done some things, and there's a Black Lives Matter on the court and the jerseys and the names. But this is taking it to the next step. And like VC said right there, the regular season is one thing. The postseason, the second round, that's a whole nother ball game. And like Jay Will talked about earlier, the amount of money. Remember, it always money. Comes back. It comes back to the money.
Ask you a question. Back. The NFL is more of a conservative league.
I would speak to that.
Yeah, I'm just saying in general with the way aesthetically they are, the way they operate, right? Optically. If the NBA were to do this, do you ever think the NFL would get to a place that they would be able to do this?
Well, there's a lot of different logistics in terms of collective bargaining agreement that they just signed in the springtime.
It 10 years.
Trigger something there. Now they got to go back and deal with that. So I don't really know. I don't necessarily need the NFL to shut down, but if the players in the NBA that are superstars are shutting it down, I would think that a number of NFL superstars, the Patrick Mahomes, the Russell Williams, the Michael Thomases of the Saints, the Drew Breeses, the Aaron Rodgers, they would start to look at it and say to themselves, okay, we may want to go in this direction too, the J.J. Watts of the world. You know, are we going to go in this direction?
I think it's going to be really interesting. Look, as a basketball purist, that is the best series. Mm-hmm. Boston versus Toronto. It's an incredible series.
Because as we've seen before in the past, the NFL owners will find scabs to play.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I said. They operate differently.
They'll go get 50-something dudes off the streets and put them in uniforms and go play football. Because there's a lot of unemployed football players, and they know that.
If you want to watch basketball as early as 4 o'clock today with the Orlando Magic and the Bucks, Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets at 6:30, Keys Lakers can close out the Blazers at 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight. Tomorrow, we'll be joined by Troy Vincent, the executive director of the NFL front office-wise with the league in New York. He's got
Same
plenty to talk
Duke.
About. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Eastern.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.